Hare Krishna, devotees. How wonderful to be here with you all. Amazing. Back in England. I joined Srila Prabhupada's movement in very place, in central London. I moved into the temple on January the 7th, 1973. It was a Sunday. And I walked right into the, well, they had a Sunday feast for the devotees in the morning. I walked right into the middle of the Sunday feast. Anyway, yes, so I'm very happy to be here with you all. Thank you for coming and giving me your association. We have been asked to say a few words about, well, actually to do a little seminar, in fact, really, on Krishna's Vrindavan Leela. Is that what you were all informed? Okay. Very good. Let us see. Let us read a verse from the last chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which Srila Prabhupada translated and did the purports for. That means 10th canto, chapter 13, the stealing of the boys and calves by Brahma. And let us read verse 13. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So Srimad Bhagavatam 10:13, the stealing of the boys and calves by Brahma, text 13. Tandrishtva baya santrastam uche krishno sya bibayam mitranyasan ma viramate haneshye vatsakan aham. Translation. When Krishna saw that his friends, the cowherd boys, were frightened, he, the fierce controller, even of fear itself, said, just to mitigate their fear, my dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself. Let us read the purport. The purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the presence of Krishna's friendship, a devotee cannot have any fear. Krishna is the supreme controller, the controller of even death, which is supposed to be the ultimate fear in this material world. Mayam dvitiya binaveshita syat, which is a line from 11.237. This fear arises because of lack of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, there cannot be any fear. For one who has taken shelter of the lotus feet of Krishna, this material world of fear becomes hardly dangerous at all. Bhavam buddhya vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. Bhavam buddhi, the material ocean of fear, becomes very easy to cross by the mercy of the Supreme Controller. This material world, in which there's fear and danger at every step, padam padam yad vipadam, is not meant for those who have taken shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Such persons are delivered from this fearful world. Samashrita ye pada palava plavam, mahatpadam punya yasho marare, bhavam buddhya vatsa padam param padam, padam padam yad vipadam natesham. That's 10.14.58. Everyone therefore should take shelter of the Supreme Person, who is the source of fearlessness, and thus be secure. Hare Krishna. Let me just read the verse again. Tandrishtva baya sanstrastam santrastam uche krishnosya bibayam mitranya sanma viramate haneshye vatsakan aham. When Krishna saw that his friends, the cowherd boys, were frightened, he, the fierce controller even of fear itself, said, just to mitigate their fear, my dear friends, do not stop eating. I shall bring your calves back to this spot by personally going after them myself. Okay. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishna Bhutale Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tirune Namaste Saraswati Devi Lord Anicharya Nidhyar Vishnesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tarde Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapatarubhyasya Kripasindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavadevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha. So, Hare Krishna. And how are all you devotees? Kim Cha, Kiman Ye, Apni Kiman Achen, and so on. How are you all doing here in sunny England? I have heard that the last some number of days have actually been quite sunny. You know, I lived here for 7 years, and people would complain, the devotees would complain, and people would complain about the weather, that it's a bit miserable and grey and rainy and wet and all that, and cold even, but compared to some of the places I go, this is practically a tropical paradise. I think none of you have been to Siberia. They say that in Siberia, nine months of the year it is cold. The other 3 months, it is very cold. That's what they say. Anyway, let us not dilly-dally on such subjects too much. But yes, Krishna in Vrindavan. This verse is very nice verse. About Krishna in Vrindavan. Actually, it's very nice verse. And elsewhere, Srila Prabhupada makes some comments on this verse, the following verse, in a slightly different light, that Krishna, he said here personally, Haneshye Vatsakan Aham, Aham, I personally, I will bring back the cows. And you, my friends, cowherd boys, you don't worry. You just continue having lunch. Srila Prabhupada comments on this in a particular light elsewhere, that just see how kind Krishna is to his devotees. That he is saying here, Aham, I personally, I will solve this problem for you. You don't worry, you just carry on. And you just have your lunch here on the banks of the Yamuna in the forest and just relax. I will go and do the hard work and find those calves and get them and bring them. But you just stay here. This is the mercy. Prabhupada discusses this. This is the mercy of Krishna. Krishna's very merciful to his devotees. Of course, Krishna's merciful to everyone in one sense. Even the greatest non-devotees, Krishna's merciful. He's given them this world. He's given them their material bodies. Given them different facilities for trying to enjoy themselves in this world. So Krishna is very merciful to everyone. Even, I think it's in the fourth canto, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that even the atheistic philosopher who may say that God is dead or try to prove that God doesn't exist, something of that sort. Even the atheistic philosopher, some big philosopher, who's straining his brain how to think up some arguments to prove God doesn't exist. So Prabhupada, the point Prabhupada makes is, Prabhupada says, that Krishna's merciful even to this person because he gives him that intelligence by which he can dream up some creative, colorful philosophy, some arguments and ideas supposedly to prove that God doesn't exist, but Krishna gave him those ideas. And then he thinks of those ideas, that philosopher, and then he thinks, just see how clever I am. I proved that God doesn't exist. Of course, he didn't prove that God doesn't exist, but he thinks like that. But actually, it's just Krishna's mercy that he came up with those interesting ideas. So, but Krishna's particularly merciful to his devotees, and he's particularly particularly or most particularly merciful to his devotees in Vrindavan, and therefore in this particular pastime, the cowherd boys, Krishna, they sat down to have lunch, and they're enjoying lunch, they're in the middle of lunch, and then they realized, oh, the calves have gone, they have just disappeared. And then they started panicking, of course. How could they go home without the calves? Go home to their parents? Who would ask, where are the calves? And what would the boys say? Oh, oh, the calves. Oh, we lost them. That would not go over very nicely. So, but Krishna's so kind. Krishna didn't sit there and say, yes, I am God. I am eating lunch. You don't disturb God when he's having lunch. You go find the calves and report back later. No, Krishna's so kind. He told them, you stay there, you continue with your lunch, I'll get the calves. And he did. This is Krishna's mercy to his devotees. And particularly in Vrindavan. Yes, Jiva Goswami, Srila Jiva Goswami, in one of his books, in the beginning of one of his books, Sankalpa Kalpa Druma, he raises the question, why should we, or anyone, why should we surrender to Krishna? Why? And of course there's a number of possible answers to that question. We should surrender to Krishna because he's God. And you know, he is the supreme, and if you're under his protection, then that's the safest and best position to be in. That's a good reason. We should surrender, or alternatively, little variation, we should surrender to Krishna because we are his parts and parcels. And it makes sense for us to function in as parts in relation to the whole. That's a good reason. Very good reason. And there are different reasons that one could think of. But Srila Jiva Goswami, he says that really the main reason that we should surrender to Krishna is because Krishna is so merciful to his devotees. He's so kind to his devotees. Krishna has many qualities. He has 64, but actually he has innumerable qualities. But of all those qualities, the one which is like the central gem around which the others are sort of gathered is Bhaktivatsala. He's very kind to the devotees. And Jiva Goswami quotes, I think it's 3.2.23, Bhagavatam. 3.2.23, Aho Bhakiyam Stanakala Kutam. That's part of it. It's Uddhava speaking just immediately after Krishna has left this world. And Uddhava says, aho means alas, alas. Now that Krishna has left, where will I find someone who can be merciful to me like he was? He was so merciful that he gave the position of nurse to Putana, even though she was not nice. She was not nice. She tried to kill him. Yes, so this is Krishna. This is Krishna, and this is particularly Krishna in Vrindavan. He's very merciful to his devotees. He's very merciful to all his devotees. He's merciful to his devotees in Wembley also. This is Wembley, is it? Is it Alperton or?
It's part of Wembley.
Alperton. Yes. Is part of Wembley. He's merciful to his devotees in Alperton too. And all of Wembley. And Harrow too. He is. But he's particularly merciful to his devotees in Vrindavan. It's very amazing, actually. It's very amazing. So, yes. So we should really try to be devotees and follow the process and serve Krishna and appreciate Krishna and try and cultivate some understanding of Krishna and particularly Krishna in Vrindavan. So Krishna in Vrindavan is very, of course, Krishna is very mystical, magical, superhuman and just astonishing character at any time, but particularly in Vrindavan, because in Vrindavan, Krishna is not openly showing that he is God. In Vaikuntha, the Vaikuntha realm, where the Lord appears as Narayan, and other four-armed or even multi-armed forms of himself. There the Lord manifests in very grand ways. And the devotees, everyone is very impressed. And even a little, you could say, intimidated by his sort of grandiose manifestation. It's just so striking and even overwhelming in that sense. Yes. How grand is the Lord in Vaikuntha. But in Vrindavan, actually in Vrindavan, Krishna is even more grand, but he's not showing it. He's not showing it. And in Vrindavan, there's special energy called Yoga Maya. We all know about Maya. I think we have some experience, isn't it?
All the time.
A little, some once or twice. Maya means illusion, that which is not. So this material world is called Mahamaya. Maha, of course, means great. It's just the great illusion. Everything's illusion. We're illusion. It's just, yes, everything is bewildering. But now in Vrindavan, there's also a type of Maya, illusion. But it is called Yoga Maya. Yoga, of course, means which links us with God, which connects us with God, like that. So Yoga Maya then means an illusion which brings us closer to Krishna and deepens our Krishna consciousness. Yes, and gives us more inspiration in our Krishna consciousness. But still, it is illusion. Still, it's illusion. And that illusion, at least sort of the main part of that illusion, is that Krishna is generally, not always, but generally, presenting himself as just one of the local village boys. And the people, the bridge busies, they're all thinking that he is just one of the little village boys. And on top of that, devotees, listen to this. Krishna is also influenced by Yoga Maya. And Krishna himself often thinks that he is one of the village boys. Yes. It doesn't mean that Yoga Maya is more powerful than Krishna. You know, sort of like Yoga Maya is in a superior position and Krishna's under Yoga Maya. Not exactly, but this is Krishna's will, and understanding Krishna's will as a service to Krishna, Yoga Maya does these things. Yes. So, for example, in this particular pastime, it's actually in the next chapter, where Lord Brahma offers his prayers. Because Brahma stole the calves. And then he stole the cowherd boys. But then Krishna gave him a real eye-opening experience. Krishna expanded himself into the same forms as the calves and cowherd boys. And Brahma was thinking that he was very clever, that this little boy Krishna is becoming puffed up. He thinks he's special, but I'll show him who's special. So he stole the calves first and then the cowherd boys. And he was hoping to come back. He came back and he was hoping to see that Krishna was bewildered. Not only have the calves gone, but the cowherd boys have gone. What am I going to do if I go back alone? What will I say to the parents? It'll just be impossible. That's what Brahma was thinking. But so Brahma came back to see, and he thought to have a bit of a laugh at Krishna's expense. Seeing Krishna, he thought, bewildered by the loss of the cowherd boys and calves. But he came back, and there were all the cowherd boys and calves. And then he went back to where he had hidden them, and there were all the cowherd boys and calves there too. And he came back to Vrindavan, and there was all the cowherd boys and calves again. And he went back and forth a few times, and they were in both places. And then he became bewildered. So anyway, what I was going to say, though, is that Lord Brahma then offers his prayers to Krishna. That's the 14th chapter of the 10th canto. Very nice prayers, very beautiful prayers. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, I shall cross the ocean of material existence on the boat of the prayers of Lord Brahma. From the 14th chapter. So anyway, there's Lord Brahma offering the prayers. And there's Krishna standing there accepting or hearing the prayers. But Krishna, devotees, Krishna was under the influence of Yoga Maya. And Krishna was actually thinking, who is this four-headed man? And he's offering these prayers. Who is he offering them to? He seems to be offering them to me. But I don't know why he would do that, because I am just a cowherd boy. So I don't know who he's offering them to, but he seems extremely upset. So if I just go and ignore him, that, you know, you're obviously not offering these prayers to me, so I've got things to do, goodbye. I don't want to just go like that, because he may become more upset. So therefore I'll just wait until he finishes of his own accord. But, Krishna was thinking, I hope he finishes quickly, because I have to get back and have lunch. I have important business taking prasadam. Taking prasadam takes precedence. Maybe in this situation, that situation, some other situation, taking prasadam takes precedence. You know about Lord Chaitanya, when Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya became a devotee. I think next morning or one of the mornings shortly afterwards, Lord Chaitanya came and woke him up with some Jagannath Mahaprasadam, and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is still in his lying down in his sleeping, you know, the sleeping clothes and whatnot. And Lord Chaitanya just told him, open your mouth. In went some Jagannath Mahaprasadam. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya protested a little that I'm not clean. I should offer prayers. And but Lord Chaitanya told him, prasadam takes precedence. So Lord Krishna was thinking like that. I got to go back and finish prasadam. Krishna had some fruit and yogurt still from breakfast on his left hand. Would you believe? Left hand. So even Krishna was thinking, listen, I am a cowherd boy. I got to go and herd the cows. So listen, will you please finish your prayers? This is Yoga Maya. This is Vrindavan. It's very amazing. Even Krishna's under the influence of Yoga Maya. Not always, but sometimes or often. Although sometimes he does some special things. Like, you know the story, Lord Balaram and Krishna were playing with some of their friends. And you know what it's like when children play. Every now and then one child gets upset with another child, isn't it? It's just, that's the way it has to be. At least from time to time, it's unavoidable. So Balaram became upset with Krishna. We don't know why exactly, but he became upset. And he complained, Lord Balaram complained to Mother Yashoda. And he thought, let me get Krishna into big trouble. How can I do that? I know. I will make up some big story that Krishna's been doing some real nonsense. And then he'll get into big trouble with Mother Yashoda. So he went to Mother Yashoda and said, Mata, Krishna has been eating dirt. I saw him. And Mother Yashoda immediately became very concerned, because Mother Yashoda, you know, generally any decent mother, they're very concerned about their children, generally. Not always, but I mean, at least decent mothers. Not all mothers are decent mothers, unfortunately. But those who are, they're very concerned about their children. And is my child all right? What is my child doing? Is he or she doing something that they shouldn't? You know, Srila Prabhupada's mother took a vow. You know about that. She took a vow. I will eat with my left hand. Only left hand, not right hand. I will eat with only my left hand until Abai, Prabhupada, asks me, why am I eating with my left hand? Then I'll switch back to normal is right hand. Left hand is not really done. So she did. until he was, I don't know exactly, but several years old. And one day he asked her, why are you eating with your left hand? We eat with our right hands. And she immediately didn't say anything. She just started eating with her right hand. And she took that vow. And the idea was, I think it's in Lilamrita. The idea was that at least he will stay alive till that time. At least till that time. Because of my vow. So anyway, but Mother Yashoda, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, she will give her life 10,000 times. If there is one speck of dust on Krishna's forehead, that's how concerned. You know, you see mothers sometimes with the child, you know, sort of cleaning up, straightening up the child. Sometimes they straighten up their husbands too. with the children, cleaning the child up a bit. She'll give her life 10,000 times if there's one speck of dust on Krishna's forehead. So Mother Yashoda, there we were with Mother Yashoda. She's told Krishna's eaten dirt. So she looked in his mouth. And what did she see? Did she see some dirt? No. She saw the whole universe. And she was just astonished. What is this? And she saw the planets. And she saw herself, and she saw Krishna in the mouth of Krishna. And she became just totally astonished. And because she had heard, you know, from time to time people would come to the village from Mathura or some other place who knew about Krishna. But people who knew that Krishna's God, yeah, sometimes Uddhava would come and say, you are so fortunate to have God as your son. I cannot calculate your fortune. And Nanda Maharaj would say that I offer my respects to your Lord Krishna. Your Lord Krishna. You know, in other words, the idea you have of Krishna. So anyway, there we were, Mother Yashoda, yes, looking in the mouth, sees the universe, and suddenly she thinks, wow, maybe Uddhava was right. Maybe those other people were right. Maybe Krishna is God. I always just laughed at the idea, but maybe it's true, because look at this. So what happened, though, when she thought like that, was that her feeling of love, her affection for Krishna, reduced. It reduced, and a mood of respect. That he is God. Om Namo Krishnaya. A mood of respect arose. Yes. But then she's looking in the mouth, very respectful. Then somehow her eyes moved slightly, and she looked into Krishna's eye. And Krishna's eyes, they're very sweet. Very, very sweet. Child's eyes, very soft, with a sort of a glint and a type of glint of affection. And she looked in his eyes, and the sweetness of his eyes was such, she started to forget a little bit that maybe Krishna's God. Then she looked in his mouth again, oh yeah, he's God. Then in his eyes again, well, I don't know, he's so sweet. But then gradually, as she looked in his eyes more and more, the idea that he may be God sort of dissolved and just dissipated and just disappeared. And as so she went through a gradual transition from awe and reverence, through a mixture of awe and reverence and love, back to her motherly mood of love. So the description is that as she was coming, you know, moving through the transition, she was thinking that it seems my son may be God. Isn't that wonderful? I am such a lucky woman to have God as my son. I am so fortunate. And then she just forgot. And then she just went back to Krishna's my son. So, yes. So sometimes, my point was, sometimes Krishna does show that he's God, even in Vrindavan. But otherwise, generally, in Vrindavan, Krishna in Vrindavan is one of the local boys. But not just any... just not just another one of the local boys, but the very most special of the local boys. Extremely special. Very, very special. Yes. There's very nice little pastime at Nandagram. There's a place in Nandagram around the town called Nandabaitak. Means the sitting place of Nanda Maharaj. Yeah, and there's a kund there, Nanda Kund. So one day, one of his brothers, Upananda, Nanda Maharaj has a number of brothers, Upananda, Sananda, and a few others, Nandas, different Nandas. So, but Upananda called a meeting at Nandabaitak of all the bridge busses, everyone, the whole village assembled there. And Upananda, when everyone had sat down and everyone was sort of composed and giving their attention and comfortable, Upananda made a presentation. He said, my dear friends and relatives, I have had a realization. This realization is that our Krishna, you think he's just one of the village boys, a special one, but still one of the village boys. That's what you think. But I have had a realization. Actually, Krishna, well, he said, you remember what Gaga Rishi said when he came and did the name-giving ceremony? That he is just like Narayan. So I've had realization about this. That Krishna, he is the supreme powerful. Krishna is the supreme pure. Krishna is the supreme, what? Controller. I've had these realizations. And he told Mother Yashoda, therefore, Mother Yashoda, you must stop chasing after him and waving sticks at him. You must stop doing this. Because he's a very special person. And Nanda Maharaj, you don't chastise him and tell him he's a nonsense. You don't do that. Because he's a very special person. You must be very respectful. Because he is the supreme power, the supreme pure, and the supreme truth, and the supreme controller. Nanda Maharaj interrupted. Nanda Maharaj said, listen, wait a minute. Just hold on. Just hold on. 1 minute. Listen. This boy is my son. If anyone knows who he is and what he is, it's me. And you're saying, this boy is the supreme controller? You think he's the supreme controller? Huh. What do you mean? You don't know what you're talking about. This boy is not the supreme controller. He cannot even control his own senses. When the butter is there, he loses control. If there are sweets and there's not enough sugar, he has a tantrum. How can you say this boy is the supreme controller? He can't even control his own senses. And you say, this boy is the supreme truth. Well, I have news for you. This boy is not the supreme truth. This boy is a liar. We catch him stealing the butter. And he says, no. It wasn't me. It wasn't me. It was, what's your name, Prabhu?
Sundar Govinda.
Sundar Govinda from?
Rickmansworth.
Oh, okay. It was Sundar Govinda. It wasn't me. We catch him stealing the gopis' clothes, red-handed. He's got them in his hands. And he says, no, it wasn't me. It was, what's your name?
David.
It was David. I just took them away from him. That's why I've got them. See, I'm trying to help the gopis. So Nandamaran said, you see, he's a liar. It's terrible. How can you say he's the supreme truth? You don't understand this boy. I understand him. And you say he is the supreme what?
Pure,
okay. Supreme pure. You say he's the supreme pure. Every day his mother washes him 10 times a day. As soon as he goes out the door, he rolls in the dust and she has to give him another bath. So this boy is not the supreme pure. He's dirty. Yeah. He's attracted to the dirt. And you say this boy is the supreme power. Huh. Little do you know, if there's ever a storm and some thunder and lightning, he comes running into my bedroom. Peter, I'm frightened. He climbs into bed with me. So how can you say he's the supreme power? It's ridiculous. I know who my son is. I know who my son is. And Nanda Maharaj just started laughing and laughing. Supreme pure, what a joke. Supreme truth. Oh, ridiculous. Like that. And he just started roaring with laughter, and all the bridge busses started remembering all their pastimes with Krishna, and they started roaring with laughter, and everyone was just roaring with laughter, and even Upananda was roaring with laughter, And Upananda said, yeah, okay, I'm sorry about that. I don't know what happened there. Something, and please forgive me for that. And they all went about their devotional service. So this is Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna in Vrindavan is very amazing. Very amazing. And because of how he is and how he is conducting himself and what happens and Yoga Maya, how she is dealing with things, then the love the love between Krishna and his devotees in Vrindavan is far greater than the love between the Lord and his devotees anywhere else, even Ayodhya. You know, in Vaikuntha, you know, in Goloka Vrindavan, there is Gokula, means Vrindavan, there is Mathura, there is Dwarka. They're all in the kingdom of God. They're different parts of Goloka, and Navadvipa is there too. Then you have Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, the top place is Ayodhya, Lord Ram. Then the rest of Vaikuntha is beneath Ayodhya. So the love of the devotees in Vrindavan for Krishna and the love of Krishna in Vrindavan for his devotees in Vrindavan is far greater than the love which is there in Vaikuntha. Although the love in Vaikuntha devotees, I'm sorry to say, is far greater than the love in Wembley. Although there is love, no doubt. But it's even much greater. But anyway, this point comes out, it's very interesting, in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you've ever read that. Sort of almost right at the end. Almost right at the end. The hero Gopakumar has gone back to Godhead. He's gone back. Met Krishna. Entered his eternal relationship with Krishna. And then Gopakumar is given a special service. His service is to travel up and down, down and up, between Goloka and this world. And when he's here, to try and find people to preach to so they can go to Goloka. So Gopakumar himself describes how now I go up and down. And sometimes I'm here, sometimes I'm sort of in transit, and sometimes I'm on planet Earth. Mm. And he says, as I travel, I pass by all these different planets, and I see the inhabitants. And, you know, in the material world, that's one thing. But in the spiritual world, it's another thing. But still, he says, when I pass by the Vaikuntha planets and I see the devotees there who love the Lord and are fully engaged in serving the Lord, but when I compare them to the devotees in Goloka, Vrindavan, those devotees in Vaikuntha, it seems they're in great misery. Yeah, they're really suffering. Actually, they're not. They're not. They're in very great ecstasy by our standards. Oh, we cannot even really imagine it. But compared to them, yes. It appears like they're miserable, you know, having a rotten day. It's tough, you know, the boss screamed at me and all that sort of thing. Yeah. So Krishna in Vrindavan, Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan are very, very special. And Krishna in Vrindavan is very, very special. Unique. So there are many pastimes. There's so many pastimes. Yeah, I'm sure you know all these pastimes. Let me just mention one or two or three. That one time, that, you know, Krishna's very fond of stealing the butter. Maybe we should explain why he steals the butter. You know why Krishna steals the butter? Krishna steals the butter because the cows from whose milk the butter is made, the cows are simply meditating and thinking and dreaming and desiring that their milk will go to Krishna. So all their love goes into the milk. Then the ladies take the milk, and of course they make it into different things. But one thing they make it into is the butter. And I don't know how familiar any of you are with the processes involved in making butter. Have any of you made butter before? By hand? Yeah? It's a bit of a process. You know, the way she did it, she made it from yogurt, which means it's going to be like a very light butter, not a very fatty butter, like butter made from cream. So, like Mother Yashoda was doing, churning. Yeah. And it's a big job. Now, you want to make yogurt, it's easy, once you know how. You just heat the milk, bring it to a certain temperature, cover it and wrap it, or put the culture in, cover it and wrap it, come back the next morning, you've got yogurt. You don't really have to do much. Yeah. But making butter, that's a bit of a job. So the ladies, when they're making the different things, and particularly the butter, they're also like the cows, they're thinking, we want Krishna to get this. We want this to be for Krishna. So all of their love goes into all these things, but particularly the butter, because that's what takes the most work and concentration and effort. Mother Yashoda, the description is, she was perspiring. Yeah. She was working hard. The flowers were falling from her hair because she was really exerting energy. Mm-hmm. And Krishna wants to taste love. Krishna doesn't really care about, you know, how expertly you've cooked and prepared this or that. He doesn't really care. But he cares about the love. So therefore Krishna wants the butter because it has the most love in it. But the problem is, and of course those ladies, they'd be happy. Yeah, take the butter. Just take it all. No problem. But the problem is that their husbands would become upset because that is their means of livelihood. Yeah. And they can't give it away. Yes, otherwise how are they going to live? So therefore, Krishna has to steal the butter. Yeah. It's the only way. They'd love to give it to him, but they can't. So he steals it. And then the husbands come back later in the day and they ask, where's the butter? And the ladies, acting like they're upset, say, you wouldn't believe it, Krishna stole the butter again. But they're very happy. This is why Krishna steals the butter. Because there's the most love is in the butter. And he wants to taste their love. But the only way to get the butter is to steal it. And he takes the blame. He gets blamed for being a thief. Krishna is the chief of the Makan Mafia. The Makan Mafia. And Mother Yashoda is always, anyway, we'll talk about that maybe tomorrow. But one day, so Krishna steals the butter. One day Krishna went in to steal the butter. It was hanging up from the ceiling. So somehow he climbed up and he noticed, you know, it's actually a security device. On the container of butter is bells. So, you know, if it gets moved, there'll be a jingling sound. So Krishna spoke to the bells and said, listen, please don't ring. All right, I will be your best friend. Don't ring when I take the butter. And the bell said, okay, fine, we will not ring. Don't worry. And then Krishna took the butter, the bells didn't ring. But Krishna started eating the butter, the bells rang. And Krishna said, you told me you weren't going to ring. And they said, the bell said, well, we didn't ring when you stole the butter, but when God eats, you have to ring the bell. So we had to ring. Yes. And Krishna, you know, in one of the places where Krishna would steal the butter, it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, actually, that Krishna, there was a mirror in this place, like a big mirror. Krishna came sneaking in to the storehouse, you know. No one's watching, okay. And then suddenly there's a mirror. He saw himself. In Vrindavan, they don't have mirrors very much. So he became bewildered. Who is this boy? And he thought, this is one of the boys from this house. So he told his mirror image. Krishna said, listen, don't tell anyone. I will share the butter with you. And I will be your best friend. So don't say anything. And the mirror image agreed, okay. Yes. So Krishna, oh, what a character. What a character. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. And he acts in such ways to stimulate love. And ideas that Krishna's very grand or great or powerful or big or something like that. These are distractions from Krishna as the lovable one. Yes. So therefore Goloka is higher because the love is greater. The love is greater. Let me close by telling you one little story. You may know this story. It's quite likely you've heard it even many times before. It's also a story from Nandagram. In Nandagram, out on the sort of, what would it be, western or southwestern or southern edge, there's a kund called Yashoda kund. And next to it is a place called Hau Bilau. You've been there? Been there, yeah? Hau Bilau. Quite close, almost on the edge of Yashoda kund. So Hau Bilau. So one day, Mother Yashoda was there in Nandagram, And Krishna was with her. And Krishna was being very naughty. And Mother Yashoda, she tried to be nice. She tried to bribe him by giving him a sweet. She tried different things. But Krishna continued to be naughty. Then Mother Yashoda thought, let me try another strategy. Let me frighten him. So Krishna was naughty, and Mother Yashoda said, you watch out. You be very careful. Don't you be naughty. Because if you are naughty, the howl will get you. The howl. And Krishna said, the what? The howl? What's a howl? I never heard of a howl. I've been living here for some time. I never saw a howl. I never heard of a howl. And Mother Yashoda said, yes, 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 the howl. He has long hair and one eye and long fangs. And he loves eating naughty little boys and girls. Yes, and Krishna, wow, it was a bit of a shock. So Krishna was good for 15 minutes. Then he started being naughty again. And Mother Yashoda said, listen, don't forget, if you are naughty, the howl will get you. He has big claws and he smells bad, and he loves eating naughty little boys. And Krishna was very good for 10 minutes. Then he was naughty again. And then Mother Yashoda said, hey, listen, you're forgetting, the howl will get you. Yes. So after a little while, Krishna went outside. In the yard, Mother Yashoda's inside the house. Suddenly, Krishna came running in. Mata! Mata! The howl's coming! The howl's coming! He's just here! And Mother Yashoda thought, what? The howl? There's no howl. I just made up the howl just to frighten Krishna. And she told Krishna, listen, just relax, don't worry about it too much. And Krishna said, no, the howl's coming, he's just around the corner. And Mother Yashoda felt very bad. I have frightened this boy. It's not nice. And she told Krishna, listen, it's okay. There is no howl. I just made up the howl. So please don't worry. And Krishna said, no, the howl is coming, look, see. And around the corner came a howl. And Mother Yashoda couldn't believe it. Anyway, Lord Shiva came and turned the howl, there was a few howls, turned them into stone. And there's one or two still there at Howl Bilal. Just near Nandagram, on the edge of the village. So, you know, after this, Mother Yashoda didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to think, what to say. It was just, there is no how. I made up the how. It is fictitious. But then there's a how. What is going on? And Krishna said, if my mutter says there's a howl, there's a howl. Whatever my mutter says is right. So any children here, we're all children, I suppose. Just remember that. If you remember that, it will help you a lot in life. Yes. So that's the story of how be now. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Shri Vrindavan Dham ki
jai.
So please come back tomorrow. We've got all sorts of things. We'll go through all sorts of things about Vrindavan, devotees, pastimes, the glories of Vrindavan. Any comment or question? Kaneya Prabhu, some words of wisdom?
Hey, Maharaj. Just want to take this opportunity to thank you for coming and being with all of us and all the devotees here. Maharaj just landed at 5:15 this afternoon. He just arrived from South Africa. He's come on a long journey. From Durban to Joburg, Joburg to Dubai, Dubai, London. And he's kindly agreed to address all of us on the pastimes of Vrindavan. So we're very grateful. And I want to sincerely thank you for being here in the UK with all the devotees, Mike. So thank you.
Thank you for the association. May Krishna bless you. Okay.
So just for the devotees, tomorrow's program will be at Sundar Govind Prabhu's home.
Oh, okay.
Part two of the Vrindavan series. So we'll just send the address out to all of you.
How far from here?
It's more near the Manor, so about half an hour.
Oh, I see. Yes. Okay. Sat Bajay. Okay. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
So prasadam will be served, so the ladies can stay.